We continue in the second book of Samuel, still in the 13th chapter, ready to begin at the 30th verse. What has happened just prior to this portion of our study is that David's son, Absalom, has murdered his brother, another of David's sons, Amnon. This murder was done because Amnon, 2 years before, had forced Absalom's sister. And Absalom had held this thing in his heart all this time. He had hated his brother. He didn't let his purpose or his intent or his true feelings known. And now he seizes upon the opportunity to murder Amnon. And the setting for this bad deed is that Absalom had a shearing of his sheep. And he invited all of his brothers to come to a festival or a banquet held on that occasion. And when they all got up their own Absalom's place, then he had his servants to kill Amnon. The other brothers immediately fled back away from the scene because they didn't know whether Amnon was going to attack any of them or not. And so as we begin the 30th verse, we have the other brothers now on their way back to Jerusalem from the place of Absalom. Amnon has just been killed, and we have the news coming through the grapevine to David. Verse 30, and it came to pass while they were in the way, that is while these other sons of David, these other brothers of Absalom, were fleeing from Absalom and coming back to Jerusalem, not knowing what Absalom was going to do, that tidings came to David saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons and there's not one of them left. So we have a rumor come to David. Tidings came. This wasn't the truth. But the rumor said that Absalom had slain all of the king's sons and not one of them was left. Well, you can see what a terrible blow this would be to David. This would be a very devastating news that all of his sons had been slain. However, it wasn't confirmed. He didn't have anybody to really be able to verify this. But David took it to heart. David believed it. Then the king arose and tear his garments, and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. So we see from this 31st verse, this caused David a lot of mourning. He tear his garment, he lay on the earth. He took this as though it was actually the truth. And he went through a lot of grief. A lot of it was needless grief. Nevertheless, let's keep bearing in mind that these events are happening as a result of David's sin with Bathsheba and his killing of Uriah, her husband. And so David is going to be the one that suffers here as much or more than anybody else. So he suffers at this rumor that has come that all of his sons have been put to death. And his servants stood by with their clothes rent. It even affected the servants. They thought that it must be the truth. David took it as the truth. And so they went through similar grieving to David. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said. Now we see Jonadab come back into the picture. This man was the nephew of David, the cousin of David's children, Absalom and Amnon, and he had been heavily involved in Amnon's sin against his sister Tamar. He had suggested that Amnon do this thing, and he told Amnon how to go about it. And now we see him coming back, and he must have been a person with no morals, a person with no scruples, for he freely enters into the lives of other people in such a way as to not bring them any good. So he answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. Now he had a good reason to believe that it was only Amnon who was dead. He had some inside information. Although he wasn't there, he hadn't yet talked to an eyewitness or anything of the killing, but he had good reason to know this, and we're going to see now why. He says, for only Amnon is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now, Absalom had this feeling ever since Tamar had been cruelly abused by her brother. And he had a secret design that he was going to kill Amnon. But it seems that Jonadab knew this. He knew that Absalom was going to do this, but yet he didn't tell anybody. Why didn't he try to tell Amnon so he'd be warned against this tragic occurrence? Why didn't he tell David so David could try to settle the matter and straighten it out? Why didn't he let it be known? But no, he held it secret in his heart also till the black deed was done. He let it happen. And so we see him then being instrumental in Amnon's sin against his sister. He suggested to Amnon what to do and was willing to help him to do that. And now he's also instrumental in Amnon's death in that he knew that Absalom wanted to kill him, but he didn't do anything about it. He didn't tell anybody. So he very accurately tells David that only Amnon is dead. None of the other sons are injured, for Absalom only intended to kill Amnon. And he determined this from the day that Amnon forced his sister Tamar. Now we want to note here that Tamar was the true sister of Absalom. They both had the same mother, Maacah, who came from the country of Geshur, and she was half-sister to Amnon, who had a different mother from Absalom and Tamar. Verse 33, "Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead." This is still Jonadab talking. Now, he's very sure of himself. He's very sure of his information, for he's known all along what Absalom's design was, that is to kill the one brother, Amnon. So he tells David not to believe this thing that all of the sons are dead. There's only one that's dead. Verse 34, "But Absalom fled." Now, after this killing of his brother, this terrible murder, which puts him in the same class with Cain when he slew Abel, Absalom fled. He knew that although he had his brothers on the run now, although everyone seemed to be afraid of him now, that he would not be able to withstand their justice nor their judgment. Had he stayed in this area, he truly, surely would have been brought to an account of this deed. At least we hope that he would have been. We have to also remember that there was no place in Israel that he could get true refuge. The cities of refuge did not apply to a willful murder. They only applied to a death that was done by accident until it could be determined whether or not it was a willful or an accidental death. So he fled. And the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. So here we're back now in Jerusalem, at the area where David is, and the man who was on watch saw this crowd of people coming. No doubt he saw a cloud of dust, and there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, "Behold, the king's sons come. As thy servant said, so it is." So there Jonadab is still with David. He seems to be the one who is rather calm and cool and collected about the whole matter. He may even be secretly enjoying all this turmoil and hassle that David's house is now going through. For he calmly tells David, "There come the sons. The very thing that I said to you is true. I knew all along." Verse 36, "And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore." They all grieved over this tragic thing that had happened. One brother had murdered another brother. Not only was Amnon gone, not only was he dead, but Absalom had been the one to bring it about. And so we see that sin always makes a tragic happening worse. The grief is much more deep now. Had Amnon died accidentally, the grief wouldn't have been near as bad as it is now that he has been put to death at the hand of his own brother. So the king and all the servants wept very sore, and all the king's sons also weep. These are the highest people in the land. This is the king and his sons, who also have high positions in this land. They now are brought to the very lowest depths of grief by the death of the son and the brothers. We see that grief doesn't limit itself to those that are poor, to those that are meek and lowly, but it also attacks the high and mighty just as well. Verse 37, but Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amminahud, king of Geshur. Now, Talmai is the father of his mother, so that's going to be his grandfather. He fled to his grandfather over in Geshur. Geshur is located in an area east of Jordan, close to Bashan, and also close to the border of Syria. Here, Absalom is out of his own country. He's visiting with his grandfather. His grandfather seems to give him refuge, the refuge that he needs, and he's free of the laws of the land of Israel at this time because he is not dwelling within the borders of Israel. And David mourned for his son every day. So we see David goes through a period of deep mourning for the loss of Amnon. He mourned every day. And we're going to see, though, that after a while, this mourning becomes less intense because David, after time, has had the healing effect. David accepts the fact that Amnon is gone. Verse 38, so Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. So after a three-year period now, we see that this mourning of David is not near as keen as it was originally. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. He now had accepted the death of Amnon. He knew that it couldn't be undone. Amnon couldn't be brought back. And so the grief due to this time had lost its keen edge. But we see another thing here that may be somewhat disturbing on the part of David. David longed to go forth unto Absalom. He wanted to see Absalom, maybe to comfort Absalom, maybe to become reconciled to Absalom. But actually, Absalom was guilty of a sin. He needed repentance. He needed to have the laws of the land invoked against him because of his terrible violation. And so here is a weakness on the part of David, much like that of Eli, in wanting to go to Absalom and wanted to comfort Absalom in his state of sin, in his state of terrible iniquity. He may then be having to compromise with the laws of God and having to choose Absalom over God. And then this would put him in a position of being removed from God, at least not as close to God as he should have been. But we can also have some sympathy with David, for we see here that David is torn between two. The loss of the one son who is now dead, that he's have to become reconciled to the fact that this son's gone, and the loss of the other son who has stepped out of the realm of righteousness, who's left the kingdom of God and gone into a foreign kingdom, and who is still in this state of sin. He's lost this son, and he wants to reach him. He wants to touch him. And it may be that David feels that if he can just become reconciled to Absalom, that then he can correct a part of this serious matter by having a positive influence on his son. So we bring the 13th chapter of 2 Samuel to a close.